Today on The Travel Guys,
48 hours of entertainment in Las Vegas for only $99?
Happy birthday, Nevada, 149 years, and we're going to Carson City.
Travel gadget guy John Holloway brings his disposable underwear to our airwaves.
And insanity reigns supreme this time of the year in where? Key West, Florida.
All that today and more on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man.
King of the road.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Get your kicks out on the Route 66. Let it roll.
You're listening to The Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK, and of course, this is the time in every program, ladies and gentlemen, where we bring you up to date on the travel news around the world. Travel news reporter Mark Hoffman. Da-dun, 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 da-dun. Bring it, Mark.
Here is Las Vegas. The people who brought you the $39 all-you-can-eat buffet pass has done it again. They are now offering guests a $99 entertainment pass. It allows purchasers to attend as many shows as they can fit in a 48-hour period out of any of the 16 shows currently offered at the 8 Vegas hotels in the Harrah's chain. You could get in as many as 5 shows a day on each of the 2 days if you work at it. If you don't gamble, this is a great alternative, but it wouldn't leave you much time for much else. Except eating, of course.
Well, yeah.
All you have to do is join the Total Rewards Club when checking in to get the $99 price. Harrah's has many Vegas properties with good room rates, so buying their buffet pass and their entertainment pass can give you a pretty good deal on a short vacation.
You know, I think they did that so that they, you know, people would not spend as much time at the inexpensive buffet. We've got to get them away from the buffet. Let's give them some $99 worth of entertainment.
Yeah, but let's face it, if you can put them in your hotel and ensure that they spend $150 on food and entertainment in the hotel while they're there, well, you've kind of accomplished your mission, I think.
There you go.
And plus, you've gotten a heck of a deal. Speaking of heck of a deals, Holland America is offering a spy cruise. The cruise sails from Port Everglades on November the 13th. If you've ever wanted to know about spies and espionage, this is the cruise for you. It's advertised as a private group on board the ship where members attend exclusive lectures and talks on espionage, spies, intelligence, counterterrorism, and lots more. Speakers are intelligent. Yes, sir?
That is weird. I thought for sure when you said that it was going to be one of those, like, mystery dinners.
Yeah. No, this is where you find out how it all works.
Really? This is the real stuff.
They're going to have intelligence experts, leaders, officers, operatives, analysts, authors, and historians, many of whom served in the U.S. intelligence community. Sounds like a lot of fun. This is not the first time this has happened. It's the first time Holland America has done it, but it seems like Royal Caribbean or Norwegian Cruise Lines did a couple of these a few years ago. Frankly, I'm in this business. That sounds like it would be really something cool to do. The TSA is testing a machine that scans liquids. Passengers traveling through the Albuquerque International Airport recently were given a first look at a machine that could allow us to again bring full-size bottles of liquids, including bottled water, soft drinks, and shampoo, through airport security. It's about the size of a small refrigerator, and it uses magnetic
resonance.
Very good. Thank you, Tom. To read the liquid's molecular makeup, now we have to be a scientist in addition to being a travel guy.
There you go.
It makes a determination within 15 seconds, and it's so sensitive it can tell the difference between red and white wine or different types of sodas. The machine can even read through metal containers.
Very good. That will really kind of speed things up, people not having to throw away all of their slightly larger than 4-ounce bottles of this, that, and the other thing.
All right, news from the skies and from the rails. United Continental is adding flights to Mexico. United and Continental Airlines said Tuesday they will increase flights between the U.S. and Mexico starting November the 1st if the airline can get Mexican government approval. United is beefing up its service to Mexico City from Chicago, Denver, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. They're also considering other destinations. Of course, Mexicana Airlines is not flying anymore, so that leaves a little bit of an opening. No longer direct service from Sacramento. In fact, I think that you could say at this point there is no direct international service from Sacramento International airport. We'll just keep that to ourselves for right now.
Okay.
Amtrak's Seattle to Vancouver route survives for another year. The second Amtrak train running between Washington State and Vancouver has been so popular it will keep rolling for another year as Canada agreed to continue subsidies to keep the train operating. The second service was added for the Olympic Games but was so popular this summer that they have agreed to continue it for another year. Amtrak, as we speaking of the rails, has reported a record number of riders in the fiscal year that ended at the end of September. Ridership was up 6% for the year. Amtrak also reported record ticket revenue growth, 9% year over year. Amtrak said sustained high gas prices and consumer dissatisfaction with airlines contributed to the increase.
There you go. You know, I mean, that says a lot. It may take you a little longer to get there, but you made your point.
As you know, and Tom, as somebody who rides on trains quite often, and I really enjoy riding on trains. Yeah, trains are for. Listen, the Capital train is the best way to get to San Francisco, and that's all. That's the end of the discussion. If you've gotten through the bottleneck of traffic at Cordelia Junction once or twice, or you've tried to get over the Bay Bridge, there's now I think 15 or 16 trains a day on weekdays, and a dozen or so on weekends. We need to have somebody from Amtrak on to talk about that.
I agree. It's very, very popular, and probably as we speak, we're talking to folks that do this on a regular basis.
Well, and it was the way that I got to the ball game in San Francisco this past week. It's, you know, go Giants. It was the only way to it was the easiest way, literally, to get to San Francisco was to take the train and take BART into the city.
And
so that is the travel news.
Right here on News Talk 1530 KFBK, your regular news and travel news radio station. Dun, 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 dun. Well, 2 weeks ago, Mark, you were on the road along the famous Route 66. As folks might recall that have been listening to the show for a while, we took the trip down the Lincoln Highway. And you know, I'll tell you, listening to all the stuff and the people that you visited with along Route 66, it just sounds like so much fun. Tell me what it was like for you and your guests that went with you.
There were so many more people, Tom, that we could have, that I could have done interviews with and brought back. We could have filled programs for the next 3 months. I mean, literally and truly.
I got to ask you, what do your travelers that you take on this trip, what are the kind of comments do you hear from
them? This is very interesting. We had folks from Maine, Connecticut, San Diego, and Sacramento in our group. And I've never had a group that bought in more to the concept of the old highway, the characters along it, these are people who have lived and worked along the highway for many years, perhaps have owned businesses, perhaps have been responsible for some of the restoration of buildings along or artifacts along the highway, like the 6 upside down Cadillacs that are sticking out of the ground near Amarillo, Texas, or two folks, Harley and Annabelle, who are the mediocre music makers in the little town of Eric, Oklahoma, which is the hometown of Roger Miller.
And that's what they call themselves.
They call them the mediocre music makers. They are two throwbacks from the 60s who are making mediocre music in the middle of nowhere and attracting travelers off the road. It's really one thing that I heard, Tom, as I went up and down the highway. We're in a recession in this country, and in general, the travel industry has been no different than any others. It's been impacted in many different ways. All up and down the highway, I heard from people along Route 66 that business is good. In fact, Dawn at the Rock Cafe in Stroud, who was one of our guests last program, Dawn said, if this is a recession, I'm a little concerned, because she said, if business gets better, I don't know how I'm going to handle it.
There you go.
And so here's what's happening. This is just a theory. People are blowing off the $1,500 airfare to go over the pond to Europe, and they're saying, all right, maybe we'll just stay closer to home and we'll find some place. We've always talked about going to this place or that place and doing this little thing, and they're looking for off-the-beaten-track things. Plus, we've got people who have traveled for most of their adult life now. You and I are, you know, I'm 55. You're very close to my age. We have been able to get around for most of our adult lives. So the people who are coming now are going to be people who have been to the major places, and I think they're going to be looking for more off-the-beaten-track destinations. And that's where a thing like a Lincoln Highway or a Route 66, where you can go out and discover how it used to be. You can go to the Jesse James Museum and visit Merrimack Caverns, and you can go to places and things that you probably wouldn't consider being Disney-esque or of a high enough level to spend your time at today. But again, you go back to that taking the train thing and not caring when you get there. And there's so many of these wonderful attractions and places where you can just take a deep breath and have a good hamburger or a pulled pork sandwich at the Missouri Hick Barbecue, or stay overnight in an old hotel that isn't part of a chain and you don't get any frequent traveler credits for it.
Now, based on your experience, for those that, let's say, of course, the ideal way to take this trip would be to go with Sports Leisure Vacations. And now you guys fly to?
We fly to Chicago, and then we make our way back the historic highway. It takes us 16 days. But even a 16-day trip averages about 200 miles a day, and we have to pick and choose what people and what places and what things, because it literally would be a six-week trip if you were to try and stop and see everything and everybody.
Right.
A good portion of the highway is still drivable if you're in a car. If you're in a motor coach, there are some old bridges that have load limits and things like that
Right. Now
that restrict us a little bit. But still, we were able – it's just – it's cool things like Carthage, Missouri has an incredible, beautiful old courthouse town square and an old-time soda fountain. We had ice cream before lunch. There's gals in Galena, Kansas. These four ladies have opened up a gift store, and they've got the original tow truck that was Tow Mater, the character in Cars.
Right, yeah.
And they call it Tow Tater because of copyright issues.
Uh-huh.
And it's parked outside, and it's a photo op. And, you know, people wouldn't normally stop and look at something like that. But when you stop and you take a picture and you meet these ladies, you get a slice of Americana that you cannot get on the interstate. And you cannot get at McDonald's, and you cannot get at the Chevron station. You've got to get off of the interstate and get on the old road and meet these people, and suddenly you realize that this is the real America that you're seeing. And it's not the homogenized experience that most travelers get. And that's not to take away from that, because for some people that's fine. But I think a growing number of people are looking for an off-the-beaten-track experience. Pontiac, Michigan, Cuba, Missouri, Erick, Oklahoma, Tucumcari, New Mexico. These are places that maybe aren't on people's radar screens, but I'm going to suggest to you that they should be.
Well, I have to say I can hear the passion in your voice. I have to ask, with all that passion, what made you think of taking these kind of trips?
It was something that I had envisioned the first 10 or 15 years I was in business. Finally, I picked up a Route 66 book one day. I read it cover to cover. I tracked down the artist, the author, called him on the phone, went to his studio in Tulsa. Michael Wallace is his name. He was gracious to give me a couple hours of his time. And then I went out and started driving the old highway. And I started meeting these people and seeing these things. And the 93-year-old Ernie Edwards, who met Harlan Sanders on his way to Louisville to start the Kentucky Fried Chicken chain, and the two guys exchanged barbecued pork sandwiches and chicken fried chicken recipes. And just hearing the story from this man is – it's just a slice. That's all I can tell you. It's all about the journey, and being on one of these classic old highways is part of that trip.
There you go. The passion, the excitement is contagious.
It's all out there. It's just not all. You can't always see it from the freeway.
There you go. Good line. I think that should be the title of your first book. You can't always see it from the freeway. You're listening to the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. That was Mark Hoffman. I'm Tom Romano. We're going to be heading over the mountains to Carson City to celebrate their 146th birthday. And we'll be talking with Candy Duncan from the Visitors Bureau coming up next here on the Travel Guys. Paid for. This is the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK, and we're going to go over the hill and hook up with Candy Duncan at the Carson City Convention and Visitors Bureau, because a lot of celebrations. I think it's the 146th birthday.
That's right.
The Nevada Day celebration. Candy, I understand just this weekend we're just now finishing up a big event. Tell me about what's been going on the last couple of days.
Yes, we had our annual Ghost Walk Saturday, and it turned out to be just great. It was a great day, and we had 12 different tours of our historic districts with costume guides, and we created ghost stories and other stories from the past, so it was a lot of fun, and we're definitely excited about the turnout and getting ready to do it again next year.
Candy, that sounds like something that that folks from who travel with my company might be interested in, a ghost walk of Carson City.
Yes.
Now, I understand this year, and I'm guessing you're hoping to do it next year, you had, in the ghost walk, you had a special a cemetery walk. Tell
me
a little bit about that.
We had a cemetery tour the evening before, Friday night, and we took a tour of our Lone Mountain Cemetery with, again, we had a couple of costume guides and professional actors portraying some of our more famous citizens that have been laid to rest out in the Lone Mountain Cemetery, and we woke them up. And we asked them to tell us some stories about their time here in Carson City. So it was really wonderful, very well received, and sold out. So we'll be doing it again next year, but we'll add some more tours.
Now, next weekend, you're having a big birthday party.
Yes, we are. Our Nevada is going to be 146 years old. We became a state in 1864, and we're going to recognize 100 years of aviation in Nevada.
So tell us some of the activities that folks, if they wandered towards Carson City next weekend, what might they expect?
All right. Well, the reason we picked aviation as our theme is it marks the history-making flight of Daredevil pilot Ivy Baldwin, and that was one of the highest flights ever made at that time, 4,675 feet. So that's our theme. And Lieutenant Colonel Dick Rutan of the U.S. Air Force is going to be our Grand Marshal. And you might remember him because he flies experimental airplanes and also was piloted the first nonstop unrefueled flight around the world in 1986. So we're going to have a big parade on Saturday that starts at 10 o'clock in the morning. We'll have a flyover that morning before the parade starts with several types of aircraft, including a hot air balloon launch, flyover of F-18 Hornets and an F-16 Falcon from the Fallon, Nevada Air Station, and a Lockheed C-130 Hercules transport plane from the Nevada Air Guard. So that's a great way to start the parade.
Now, a little bit of live entertainment along the way?
Oh, yeah, we'll have, I think we've got almost, I think they told me, about 50 marching bands entered in the parade. There's a band, marching band contest after the parade, so we get lots of marching bands. There's going to be a beard contest at the Capitol Amphitheater immediately following the parade, so anyone listening who's proud of their beard can just show up there. There's no entry fee, and they can win a prize for longest, fullest, reddest, whitest, blackest, you got the picture, beard.
Yeah, we'll have to get a hold of Brian Wilson, the closing pitcher for the San Francisco Giants.
That's right, fear the beard.
Right on.
Okay, and then one of the unique activities that happens during our parade is the 33rd Annual World Championship Single Drack Drilling Contest. Say that really fast. And that's set for 11:05 in front of the Carson Nuggets. And what that is, it's a big, huge piece of granite, and these really muscular guys try and take a hammer, drilling hammer, and hit, make a hole in the granite. And the reason that is a contest is that's how they actually set dynamite, the miners did back in the day when they were blowing up mines, getting out the, you know, getting ready to mine. So that's that contest, which is kind of fun to watch.
And you've got a new train in Carson City?
We do have a new train in Carson City. We're running the V&T Railroad from Carson City to Virginia City on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we still have tickets left on all those rides, so they can give us a call here at 800 Nevada 1 and we can sell them some tickets.
And you probably have a website that folks can visit?
We do. We want them to go to visitcarsoncity.com. And they can click on events and get all the information about our events there.
It sounds, Candy, like you have, for folks who are looking for a family-oriented event, something that might be close to home that wouldn't cost a tremendous amount of money, I have just the place for them. It sounds like Carson City.
Yes.
All right, we're talking again with Candy Duncan at the Carson City Convention and Visitors Bureau. And again, happy birthday, 146th birthday to Nevada with the big Nevada Days coming up next weekend. Candy, thank you so much for the time. You guys just have a great party, okay?
We will. I hope to see you here.
You got it.
Thanks.
The Travel Guys and News Talk 1530 KFBK. Welcome to the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK, and our gadget guy, John Holloway, has returned with, I'm a little embarrassed here, is what I'm looking at. I feel like this is awfully personal. John has,
Tom's thinking he's back at home and his wife's underwear is hanging in the shower again, yeah.
John has on hangers some tidy whiteys. Isn't that what they call those?
Not sure what they call this. I think this is pole dancer would wear something like that.
Yeah, no thongs to speak of. John, why do you have underwear in the studio today?
Believe me, it's kind of fun walking in the station. I got a few looks today, but, underwear, you know, in our equation of getting packing light, and that's all we're about at our store, Travel Outfitters, is to try to get people to pack less stuff, and it's kind of a contradiction when a store is selling 2,500 square feet of stuff, but we want you to have the right stuff, and part of that is having underwear that dries quick. So instead of 10 pairs of underwear for 10 days, you want like 3 pairs every, you know, third or fourth night. You wash them in the sink, hang them up, and then let them dry instead of paying that hotel desk, you know.
Well, yeah, or having to, and this is particularly important now because you're paying $50 round trip for each extra suitcase you take. So if you find yourself needing a suitcase in a quarter, or you're somebody who wants to travel with just carry-on luggage, and every inch is kind of counting here or something like that, this is a way that you can recycle.
Yeah.
Your clothing on the road.
So these are made out of material that dries quickly. Is that right?
Yeah. Usually nylon and a touch of spandex. I don't like to tell the guys they got some Lycra in their travel underwear. They're like, what?
Hey, we should tell people, since we're standing here looking at this, if you are somewhere near a computer, you can go to travelguysradio.com, and you can see exactly what we are looking at right now.
I don't know if that... Do we really want them to have to? Do I really have to go look at underwear on the Travel Guys website?
John, one of these is wet.
I know. Well, I assure you, I washed it. It's from the laundry.
Oh, okay.
Now, how long?
I just was a little concerned. This is the double X here. I'm not sure.
It looks like a pair of basketball trunks from the Kings or something.
Yeah. So this is just one of the ones that you can wash out and...
Right. And they promise about 2 to 4 hours dry time on some of this. The big point is to have it overnight. I mean, you're washing the stuff, takes you 2 minutes in the sink, and then have it dry by morning. So when you're packing it again to head off to the next destination.
And yeah, I see you have underwear for guys and gals both here.
Yeah. And surprisingly, you know, it's more of an issue if you think about the quick drying briefs for cotton briefs for us guys, and it's an issue. But the gals like the underwear as well.
Yeah.
And that's so.
Are these big sellers, John?
Big sellers.
Really?
We sell a lot of these.
I just always just put an extra pair, one in my left pocket and one in my right pocket.
Can I let you know a secret, Tom, someone who travels a lot?
I already know. You just put like 4 pair on at one time, and each day you just take one off.
And then after 4 days, you put them back on, and but you turn them wrong side out.
Inside out.
Yeah, exactly. So that's 8 days. No. I always carry one in my briefcase. I carry a toothbrush and an extra pair of underwear because if I get stuck someplace, the two things that are most important to me are not having nasty breath and being able to put on clean underwear in the morning. I mean, you know, absolutely. Really and truly, those are the two things. I used to have a tour director whose husband used to tell her every morning when he dropped her off at the bus and she was getting ready to go out with her group, he would say, you know, now, honey, do you have your toothbrush and your underwear just in case, you know, she went to Lake Tahoe and got snowed in overnight or something like that. So it is an important item. I mean, let's face it. It's the thing you put closest to your body and it covers your most important things.
Yeah. I mean, we can sell you a lot of great travel clothes, but if you don't start off with your base layer that's up against your skin, that's important. So if I just sold them on being quick dry, that's not enough. They also wick, and this sounds kind of funny, wick perspiration and moisture away from your body. So a lot of us Sacramentans aren't really familiar with humid climates, but if you go to some of these places with 90% humidity, you want a garment up against your skin that is a wicker or a quick drying moisture wicking material, and that is antimicrobial. And it's a big word, and it's funny telling people, hey, you need this antimicrobial underwear. My customers look at me like, why would I need that? But it keeps it fresher. So at the end of the day, in that hot, humid climate, you don't feel like, you know, you got clammy cotton stinky.
You don't feel as scuzzy.
No,
is what John is trying to say to you. We're talking with John Holloway of Holloway Travel Outfitters. This is the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. And Tom, you've got John brought another interesting item.
He did. You just handed me the very I've never seen this before. Ladies and gentlemen, here you have disposable underwear.
Now, I've heard of edible underwear before, but...
No, we're not that kind of store,
show,
Mark.
That's a different show for a different time.
Okay, wear it once or twice and then throw them away. So if you don't want to, you know, you really want to travel light, you don't have to do
What are those? What are they made out of?
They're cotton, actually. And, you know, people throw them in the waste paper basket and the maid pulls them out. Like, what's this American throwing away their underwear for? They look fine.
But they come in a package of five, and it's about, and again, you can go to travelguysradio.com and see the stuff that we're talking about if you're sitting in front of a computer right now, or you can look after the program. That's a pretty small packet, and there's, five pair in there? What is
five
that?
Pair,
what does that sell for?
Biodegradable, only $7.75, buck and a quarter a piece or something like that.
And they're biodegradable.
Biodegradable cotton. Yep. Yeah, and it
hopefully not while you're wearing them.
No, they'll at least wear a couple wearings. I mean, I have people come back and say, hey, I wore this at Iguazu Falls over and over, and it's wet there, you know. But so you can get through a couple wearings, but they weigh, the big thing is they weigh like 8 ounces. For that package. So for those folks that don't really want to wash their underwear in the sink, and we have a few of those, understand.
I have a friend who's, you know, recycles everything. He'll actually wash baggies and reuse them because he's just really, really conservative.
I never
see
people like that.
Don't let him get a hold of these.
No, because
he'll say, what do you mean disposable? There's absolutely nothing wrong with these. I can wear these for a year.
But what a great idea. And so for those of you who might be interested in streamlining your wardrobe with some disposable underwear or some quick drying, some travel gear.
Yeah.
And not only just underwear, but John has all kinds of stuff. Really, a visit to Travel Outfitters, you need to allow about an hour so you can just kind of, if you're a traveler, so you can go in and you can kind of dream about the places you're going and the things you might need. And John has a really helpful staff at his store on Fulton Avenue. And you also have a website, which we have posted on our site, but why don't you tell the folks?
Yeah, thank you. It's Packing Light. .com. It's LIGHT, and we've established this years ago, really initially just for an informative site, and then we thought, you know, especially with the economy, we better start some e-commerce, and it's done very well for us. So,
you can go in and see John right in his store, or you can just go to PackingLight.com and shop to your heart's content.
And John, I understand you're open 7 days, right?
7 days a week. Yeah.
That's convenient.
Weekdays, 10 to 5 Saturday, and 12 to 5 on Sunday.
Where on Fulton are you?
We're at 1150 Fulton, so we're south of Arden Way.
Okay.
And a little north of Fair Oaks, sort of in between there.
And well, John, only minutes from News Talk 1530 KFBK.
John, thank you again for coming in and joining us on the Travel Guys and bringing some more interesting stuff. One thing we can count on when John is here, it's always interesting stuff, whether it's throwaway luggage or throwaway underwear. We've got it all. We'll be right back. This is Mark Hoffman along with Tom Romano. You're listening to the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK.
Welcome to the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK, and it's time to go to the beautiful state of Florida and the Key West. Who's our special guest today, Mark?
Stacy Mitchell from the Florida Keys and Key West Tourism Office is joining us live on the air. Hi, Stacy.
Hi.
How's
everybody doing today?
Oh, we're doing quite well, actually. Sacramento is beautiful, and we have a baseball team here in Northern California that's doing reasonably well, so we're all happy.
And, you know, the weather's nice here, but I guess it's probably nicer there, huh?
You know, that's one of the reasons that brought me personally to the Florida Keys was the year-round great weather and outdoor opportunities. I'm an outdoor kind of gal, and living in the Keys is really good for that sort of lifestyle.
Now, Stacy, I've had some tremendous success with my own company the last few years. We've always had a hard time selling Florida to people from California because people from California say, why would I go to Florida? There's beaches here, there's ocean here, there's all of these things. And for many years, we had some challenges with that. You know, there's Disneyland in California, there's Epcot and Disney World in Florida, so there are some comparisons to be made there. So tell me, I mean, I already kind of know, but in your own words, why would someone from California want to come to Key West?
Well, I can tell you, I had those same reservations. And we first started doing some promotions in the California market. And with the similarities between theme parks and beaches next to an urban environment, I too had those same questions. And when I started speaking with people in the California region, it came to me that they're looking for something nature-based, a new destination, guaranteed warm weather, both day and evening. Crystal clear water for the sports enthusiasts, those who like to snorkel or scuba dive, water that is warm and clear. You have nice beaches in California, but the water's cold, and it's not always clear. And it's also the Keys are so much different than the rest of Florida.
Well, and I think what probably strikes me from the about the Key West area itself and is the incredible diversity of things to do there. There is history. There is, I mean, you have one of the, well, not one of, you have the neatest butterfly conservatory in the country. And
it's
for folks
stunning.
who are listening who are not quite on that page, we're talking about butterflies flying around indoors.
And when you do visit the Butterfly Museum, we call them hitchhikers. You'll be looking at an exhibit and just enjoying the tranquil environment, and all of a sudden on your shoulder, you'll see a butterfly hitching a ride.
And in the same day, I mean, literally blocks away, is a house where Ernest Hemingway lives, complete with the cats that lived there when he – well, not the same cats, but descendants of the cats that lived there when he did. And only a few blocks further down the street is Harry Truman's little White House, where innumerable historical meetings were held and the like. And then a couple blocks further than that is the Shipwreck Museum. I mean, what other destination in the United States could offer – I mean, literally, you could take a mile walk in Key West and hit all of those different attractions in the same day.
And don't forget, Key West is only – 4 miles long by 2 miles wide.
Wow.
So everything is within walking distance.
And the highest point above sea level on the island is
12 feet. It's called Solaris Hill.
Hill?
And we call it the nosebleed section.
Wow.
You're a whopping 12 feet above sea level.
We're talking with Stacy Mitchell from the Florida Keys and Key West Tourism Office on the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK this afternoon.
And Stacy, I understand there's some special events going on in Key West right about this time of the year. In fact, this weekend. Tell me a little bit about it.
We are kicking off beginning Friday, the 22nd, and it'll carry through till Sunday, the 31st of October, our annual Fantasy Fest, which is Key West rendition of a wacky Halloween autumn festival.
Your website actually says that Key West becomes the habitat for insanity.
Habitat for insanity, and we also say it's where the weird turn pro.
That's good. I like
that. Events include things like, well, we have a king and queen coronation, of course, and all the money raised goes to local charities, so that it's a local generated event, and it goes back into the local community. So that's always a feel-good thing. And we have wacky events like the pet masquerade and parade, where you dress up your pets any way you'd like. And pets can be anything from fish to birds to pot-bellied pigs and, of course, to cats, dogs, snakes, whatever you have. The pet owner look-alike contest is usually a good one. That's a highlight of the pet masquerade. And there are several parades, private parties. Pretenders in Paradise is a costumed competition, and the grand prize is $10,000.
Stacy, it sounds like that this is an incredibly wonderful festival, especially since Key West is where historic Duval Street, for those of you who are not familiar with Key West, is one end is, well, both ends of Duval Street end in the water, but literally one end of Duval Street is a lot different from the other end of Duval Street, and where else could you have drag queens and speedboats within a mile of each other and everybody just coexisting? Stacy, there was a lot of concern about the oil spill in the Gulf and whether or not it was going to affect the Florida Keys, and how has that affected your tourism? And if we were telling people from California, gee, they would be prone to come during your off-season when it's a little cooler, January, February, and the like, is it okay to come?
Absolutely. Yes, the Keys and Florida in general was in the news quite a bit this summer because of the Gulf oil spill, and I'm very pleased to report that the Florida Keys was not affected by any means by that oil spill.
I think, Tom, you have one other little festival there you wanted to inquire about?
Well, now that we know that, first of all, there is no threat of oil spills, anything that you may have heard was nothing but a misnomer, and you're all set to go and book your plans to go to Key West and so forth. I'm booking right now because, according to history and legend, the notorious 19th century pirate Black Caesar roamed the Florida coast waters for some time. Therefore, they have the Key Largo Pirate Fest. Arr!
You know, the Florida Keys and Key West is a place where we accept everyone. And so pirates
Thank
have
you very
been
much.
Accepted here.
I thought
we
was
welcome them with open arms.
And I'll take that personally.
Stacy, thank you so much for your time this afternoon and for sharing a little bit about Key West, Florida, which is about as far from Sacramento in these United States as we can get.
And it's miles and miles away from the rest of the United States, not only geographically, but also in the mindset.
And if you want to find out more online, you can go to FLA-Keys, KEYS.com.
Or check out TravelGuysRadio.com, and we'll have all of the links for today's program there. Thanks again, Stacy.
Thank you.
Stacy Mitchell with the Florida Keys and Key West Tourism Office joining us here on The Travel Guys. We'll take a break, and we're going to come back. You're listening to The Travel Guys with Mark and Tom on News Talk 1530 KFBK.
News Talk 1530 KFBK.
Well, just about time to wrap up another Travel Guys radio program here on News Talk 1530 KFBK. And in 2 weeks, Mark is heading off across the big pond to a lot of people's favorite place, and that is the islands.
Yeah, the islands of Hawaii are calling, and we are going to take you to some places in Hawaii that you probably maybe you haven't even heard of. We are going to take you on a tour of a chocolate farm.
Okay.
We're going to take you to President Obama's neighborhood where he grew up as a kid. We're going to take you to a seahorse ranch. I mean, imagine that, a seahorse ranch. All that and more next time on The Travel Guys.
We'll see you then. And remember, folks, you can check out all of our guests that were on today's program as well as podcasts of previous Travel Guys shows at TravelGuysRadio.com. Have yourself a wonderful Sunday, and we'll see you next time on The Travel Guys here on News Talk 1530 KFBK.